Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's back with us today. Hallelujah. Giving us some good things. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, this is like, this is the cherry on the cake, or maybe
the
icing and the cherry
on
the cake all combined.
Okay.
And we left off yesterday in Revelation and talking about, I mean, we've talked for 2 weeks now about really wanting to convince you to love and open your life up to Him for correction.
Yes.
But look here in Revelation. It is filled with, yes, it's correction, but look how He handles it. He's like, and every time He corrects, He tells them, I have this for you. If you're victorious in this, this is where I want you to be. I want to sit down with you. I'm knocking. He talks about the indifference that people can resist. And I'm talking about people in the church resisting His knocking to come into their life and their heart at a deeper level and sit with them and talk with us.
Right.
And He's like, He talks about their indifference. But He says, I love it. He starts each one out with, I love this about you.
He's encouraging.
He's encouraging. I love this about you, but I have this complaint. Or in other words, you need to fix this. Mm-hmm. And He's not saying it to cast us out. Oh, this is good. This came from the Lord. He's not saying these things to cast us out, but to draw us
He's
in.
He's endeavoring to help us receive.
Yes.
Amen.
And so He has all these messages to the churches. And I guess you could look and see, oh, that sounds like my church, or that sounds like my church. But I think it'd be better if we just look and start here.
Took it all.
And go, is this me? Have I left my first love, it says? So let Him examine you in these ways. Well, I was looking in particular at the church in Thyatira. Where is it? It's in chapter 2. And verse, we talked yesterday about His feet, His hands and His feet in verse 18. But He says in verse 19, I know all the things you do. I've seen your love, your faith, your service, your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement in all these things. That sounds like a really great church, doesn't
you think?
It? That sounds good.
Uh-oh.
But it just goes to tell us that we all have places we need to come in, come deeper, let Him shine the light. But I have this complaint against you. You're permitting that woman, that Jezebel, that's its spirit He's talking about, who calls herself a prophet to lead my servant astray. And He goes on to talk about leading her in sexual sin, to eat foods offered to idol. Really? That Jezebel spirit, do some study on it. It's not just the obvious leading somebody into sexual sin, but it has to do with idolatry. It has to do with a refusal to be under authority. That Jezebel spirit wants to be over the man of God, wants to be over the household of God. And so let the Lord teach you. He's taught me some things about that spirit that drives people. Anyway, He says that the church that's been doing so great has tolerated that spirit. And I'm not going to go into all that. That's not my goal here today. I'm just saying He can show you where you've tolerated anything, whether it's that spirit. This is a deadly spirit and needs to be gotten rid of or taken authority over and cast out of our churches and our lives in every way. But look what He says here. He says, let's see, I have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who've not followed this false teaching. I will ask nothing more of you except you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me in the end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will give them the morning star. Mom, the morning star, Jesus Himself.
Praise God.
The manifestation. Here's where we're at. Why is He saying all this to all the churches? Why? Because it's time now for us to come to the same place, the same page, the same goal, the same call. All the churches now are scattered all over the place. And I don't mean physically, I mean in their, you know, what they're thinking, what we're doing, what we're saying, how we feel about God, how we think about this, how we feel about politics, how we, you know, all of it, just all over the map. But I want to show you what the Lord has shown me. We're gonna come back to Revelation 2. I believe I'm going to do this in Ephesians so fast that you're going to get it. And the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you at the same time so that I can say less. Okay, there's a scripture here that I want to read. I'm going to use my glasses on this one because my Bible's so marked up. But it says in Ephesians 1, verse 4, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Listen, it's going to happen. He's chosen this.
Amen.
And if we're in on it with Him, it won't even be hard. Because He's decided in advance to make us this way, and He is bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. How is He making us holy and without fault? Well, if we want to be in on things, we're going to have to allow Jesus to lead us into those things.
That's right.
So what are we going to have to do? Be corrected, right? But what's He doing? Look here. It says, let me take us to Ephesians 2:7. His purpose and he's given us so rich in mercy, and He's given us His grace so He can point to us in all future ages as examples of His wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. He wants us to be a picture of His grace and His kindness. Well, we got a ways to go, but it won't take us any time to get there when we all start submitting to this place in
says.
Him, doing what He says. Because He says in verse 10, this is your life scripture, I believe, we're His masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Now then.
Can I read that in Amplified?
Yes, ma'am.
For we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Taking His path, that's where the good life is. Because you're obedient. You're doing what He says. You're acting on the Word. So we take those good paths, do those good works, whatever He's called us to do, whatever path He's told us to be.
Well, you can't do the good work if you don't go on the good path.
That's exactly right.
And you can't go
right.
on the good path if you don't allow Him to move you
and talk to you,
and lead
to do.
You. So
Lord,
this is where, this is critical.
It's a good word.
It's not only critical to our lives, it's critical to His plan.
And I can tell you, Kelly, and you can remember some as you were a child, when we began to follow what God said in His written word, our life turned around.
Mm.
We got out of debt. We began to be prosperous. We began to get in the path that God had for us, which is where prosperity is. Whatever He calls you to do, that's where your prosperity is. So some of you might think and might know, you know, I know I'm called to the ministry, but I don't see how I could ever do it. And you ignore it, you're going down the wrong direction. His path is blessing, increase, prosperity, healing, health, goodness, hallelujah.
And you know,
abundance.
What you just explained or described is a good example of how people say, well, I can't do that because I'm not this or that. That's where people can get off.
Yeah.
And if they don't allow the Lord to correct their thinking in the Word, to correct their thinking, it's not about you.
That's right.
He's God. If He has planned for you to do this, He can make it happen.
So, yeah, but
it's not about you.
I've not ever been blessed. Well, it's possible you've never been in the right path where He's called you to be. I mean, He calls people into ministry. He calls you to do different things. If Ken and I had ignored His call to the ministry because it natural circumstances said, you can hardly get across town. How are you going to get across the world? Well, we didn't. We had enough Word in us. Thank God for Brother Hagin teaching us how to live by faith, that we knew we could do whatever He told us to do if we'd walk and believe God's word.
Think about this. You had no idea, Mom, back then,
no,
that God was making a shift, that God was going to take the church from where it was to a place now that you and Dad have had so much impact on.
Praise God.
And you've had impact on the people watching and churches and faith and people
and
learning
it's had
the word.
Impact on us.
You, that day, you had no idea.
Mm-mm.
But think about this is where we are right now. You have no idea what God is about
right.
to do with you and,
praise God.
And in you and using you to impact others. So
that's
put
good.
Your seatbelt on because we're
okay.
fixing to take off here.
Take off.
All right. Ephesians 3:10. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think.
The mystery.
I have seen something. I'm seeing it happening, and then the Lord explained it to me. You know, talking about the church being all over the place, different groups, different camp. People call them a camp or a denomination or a religion, you know, this is my religion. Well, my religion is this, and my religion is that. So they all would call themselves a Christian, but they talk about their rules or their religion. All right. What do you see right here, Mom? Look at this right here. What do you see?
I see a piece of white paper with
small piece of paper. Small piece of paper. It's not, I could have written something on it, but I didn't have time to write on it or think of what I should write on it. But it's a piece of paper, and it represents the church, this piece of paper. This piece of paper, let me read a scripture to you. Let me find I've got all these different versions here. The purpose is, this is in the Amplified, that through the church, the complicated
manifold. One translation says.
You got my word. You got my word ahead of
manifold.
Me. Hold that word.
Okay.
Many-sided,
mm-hmm.
wisdom of God in all its infinite variety,
mm-hmm.
and innumerable aspects might be now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere,
oh,
or
yeah.
make that the different wisdoms in the church would be main take that we would rise up in authority. In who we are, okay? But you said it, I think that was the Amplified. You said it in maybe the King James says manifold wisdom.
Manifold. Many-sided is
okay,
what that
means. Listen to this. You know how we've taught ourselves camps and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I've stopped using any of those words. I mean, I still use them sometimes, and the Lord
church.
Corrects me and I correct me. I've used fold.
Many-fold.
Think Many. About this for a minute. There's been such disunity in the body but over what we know or don't know or what we believe
mm-hmm.
or what we don't know believe. But let me ask you a question. This is so exciting to me.
This is a hard question.
No. It's pretty obvious actually. How could you become an expert in all the sides of God? In one lifetime, or one church time.
The only way I know is to find it, you know, to read and study the Word of God.
But you know what? Then if you could do it all by yourself, you wouldn't need the rest of the body. You might not even think you needed God if you could have all the answers
on
your own.
You wouldn't be able to do it by yourself.
You wouldn't. Let me ask you this. You have a lawyer. You have a doctor. Do you want your doctor going to court for you, or do you want your lawyer to treat you with medicine?
I don't think
no.
so.
But they have a specialty,
mm-hmm.
right? God has done that in the church.
That's a good analogy.
He has given, look
the
at this.
The manifold wisdom
of this God. May be our, this is our group, and what we know, and we're so strong in what we know. Well, we don't know everything. You know what happened to me? Is when I began to see I needed some things in my soul that I had not ever learned, or I needed to learn some things about worship, the Lord led me. I'm dipping in over here. This is what they teach. This is what they study. This is what they know. This is where they're strong. And I begin learning from a new fold. Now, I don't let go of what I know.
No.
Now
and you
I'm
have to
broader.
Learn every fold from the written word of God.
Well, and you find that it's in there. And so now I'm learning from here. So what if these walls began to come down in the body,
well,
which is where we're at?
Yeah,
yes, this is what's happening, but I want us to be aware of it so we can be in on it. Because this won't happen if we don't allow the Lord to correct us. Because if we get stubborn, then we won't learn from somebody else, much less Jesus. Because, I mean, let me describe how it could happen from our camp. Sorry, fold. Actually, it doesn't happen when you're in a fold. It happens when you're in a camp or a group or a sect. So I'm listening to somebody talk that's an expert on the soul. And they make a bad confession. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to listen to them. They made a bad confession. Here I am expecting them to know what I know. When they haven't been in my fold, they haven't been allowed to cross over until now. Now, the Lord said to me, stop listening to people for what they don't know that you know. And start listening for, as He leads me to people and things and groups. He said, start listening for what they know you don't know.
That's what love is for.
That's what love is for. And it's what Ephesians describes. And we're going to read some of it. I believe I'm going to have plenty
everything.
Of time. None of us know everything. But look at this, Mom. This right here looks a certain way, or it would if it had a picture on it. But when you open it up, it looks different, but it's the same, and it's still connected. Then if you unfold it further, you find we are big.
The whole picture.
We're big. The church is big.
Amen.
And we've got it all now when we unfold.
And we're still in the process of getting
it all. We're in the process of just now beginning to unfold it, but we need to allow... We need to allow the wisdom to meld now. God's bringing us together in unity, but He's correcting us individually. He's bringing us into Himself. And we're going to find that these things in Ephesians that He describes, He said, and He said, because of all this, you can come boldly into His presence. Well, what's going to happen when we get into His presence? More and more, we're going to be on the same page.
Well.
And let me, okay. He says, okay, I read that out of Ephesians, and he says, because of our faith in Him, we do something. Y'all, I've got all these papers. We come with boldness. We have free access, unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. It says, and I think this is in the bottom of chapter 3, it says in my New Living, glory to Him in the church. Let's see. Now all glory to God that's able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to Him in the church. Now this is the message, Mom, in that. It says, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it. Now, I'm reading this because of the correction thing we've been talking about. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. Yeah. His Spirit deeply and gently
message.
Working within us. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4 then says, Work at this life of being together. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. The message says, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences. I don't mean good differences. It means arguments. And quick at mending fences. But listen to this, Mama.
Walking in love.
Walking in love. I like this in the message. It says, everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Think about this piece of paper. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given His own gift. All these gifts working together. This is where we're at. And I'm going to have to skip some of these things that I would love to read. But...
walking in love is the great unifier.
Read Ephesians 3 and 4 in the Amplified and in the Message and see what they say to you. But listen to what happens when we do this. He says, no longer are we going to be immature when we come together and we grow up Him. We are going to grow up into His fullness. And He says we're going to know the whole truth. And He talks about telling the truth in love. That's talking about us communicating within this church, this many-folded church, communicating in love, not in hate and in anger and you're wrong, I'm right, but in love, communicating,
it's
learning.
It's like being married.
It's awesome.
Yes. You got to come to opposites attract. They get married and they have to come out. They have to get together if they're going
to
be a success as one.
And listen to what he says. Then there to be no more going along with the crowd. He talks, begins to talk about the world. Empty-headed, mindless, refuse so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but reality itself. They can't even think straight anymore. They are outside of what God has for them. Now, hold on to your other horses. Back to Revelation. I wish I could have gone all the way through Ephesians, but you go do it. You study. Now, here we are. We have a job to do that's never been done. This excited me so much. And Jesus says in the very last chapter of the Bible, I am coming soon.
Yeah. Amen.
And it says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Yes, thank God.
He says, blessed are those who wash their robes. They'll be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit of the tree of life. Guys, that's us. But listen to this. Outside the city are the dogs, sorcerers, sexual immorality, the murderers, idol worshipers, and all who love to live a lie. All those people that Ephesians talks about live outside of this life. They're not supposed to stay outside.
No.
But listen to this. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am the source of David and the heir to this throne. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the bright and morning star. He has come not just for us, but for those outside. Listen to this, Mom.
Amen.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Hallelujah.
Not just the Spirit, but the Spirit and the bride. The church being able to say to people, come. We can't say it till we all get together.
We receive you. Come.
Come. People come. Those that are outside, the people outside of Jesus, we're saying to them, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
That's awesome.
This is our job to say. And it's the day that He's bringing us into Himself and all of us on the same page.
What did it take?
And we are going to be saying, come to this world that's all messed up.
What does it take to do that? Walking in the love of God. Glory to God. And we're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.